Here we are then at the end of 5 weeks of looking at the bless habits of beginning with prayer, listening to people, eating with them, serving them and sharing our story with them. We've thought about it, we've discussed it and we've prayed about it. So where do we go now? Do we just move on to the next thing and slip back into our usual patterns? Or do we believe that God is serious about us making disciples and commit to being doers of the word and not just hearers? Today's session is all about how we build and sustain the blessed habits so that among our church family, we will eventually have the joy of seeing many brought into the kingdom of God. So here are just a few reminders and suggestions to help us all to be faithful in this journey going forward. Firstly, I think we need to ask God for what we need. I suspect that we are all in different places with the bless habits, and it might be good to think about where you're at. And it's okay for this to take time to embed in our hearts and our lives. After all, this is as much about changing us as it is about changing the world. And any lasting transformation in us needs to be genuine, not superficial. I was reading 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 the other day, and it says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." And what struck me was that after we're saved by the blood of Jesus and we're made holy in God's sight, there is still a work of cooperation and obedience we have to do with God, and it results in our hearts loving sincerely and then ever more deeply. And we're all called to be on this journey towards deep love, and we're all at different places in it. So I would encourage us all to keep asking God to give us more of the love which he has for his children, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for those who are lost, whether they realise it or not. Secondly, we all need the right motivation to keep going. In the Bless book, Dave Ferguson says that naturally speaking, we are all motivated either by rest or by work. The nothing to do kind of person is motivated to get work done so that they can enjoy their times of having nothing to do. Whereas the always something to do kind of person is motivated by goals and love of accomplishment, and they will always create something to have to do. Do you live to rest or to work? Ferguson says that whatever our natural personality, we need to become a have to do person, motivated by God's greater vision and mission. Like Jesus, we won't settle just for rest or for work, but we'll be compelled by the Father's love to bless the world every day. As we begin every day with prayer, let's bring ourselves into alignment with God's desire for so much more for us and for those we meet. Thirdly, I think we need to remember to be patient and not to expect to see immediate changes in the lives of those we're praying for and blessing. We're to love people, and people are not slot machines. We can't add together X amount of blessing and food and equal conversion. People are complicated, contrary, and they're often starting from a place of little or no understanding of our loving Heavenly Father. So it's vital that we show them consistent love and let God prompt and guide us as to when the right time is to share our story of his love. And our own capacity might be limited at times of stress and difficulty as well. So his timing is always what we have to seek. And small steps are good steps. Fourthly, we must not judge our worth by whether we are ticking off our list of bless habits weekly or by whether we see results. Following Jesus into the places he's already at work is not meant to be legalistic and guilt-inducing, and neither are we to compare ourselves to others. We need to keep a healthy tension between two equally true but apparently contradictory states of mind. One is being able to relax in the knowledge that only God saves, and he doesn't love or value us for how many people we introduce to him. But the other is the urgency of the need for people to hear the good news and for us to show and tell them of it. Grace and good works are both important in the Christian life, but we always have to keep reminding ourselves that we are saved by grace for the good works that God already has prepared for us to do. And fifthly, let's embrace accountability. Scary word, I know. But first and foremost, we are accountable to God for the resources he has given us, including our time and energy and love. He has poured out his blessings on us, and he's told us to be a blessing to others. And so ultimately, it is between us and him whether we are being obedient in that. But accountability with our brothers and sisters in the form of mutual encouragement and challenge can be a valuable tool to help us to keep the commitments we make to God. I know when I was trying to lose weight with Slimming World, sometimes it just wasn't enough to know that a salad was the right thing to eat. I also needed the accountability of a pair of weighing scales waiting for me at the end of the week. So let's keep sharing our stories of progress and disaster, and let's keep praying for one another in Life Group to speed us on our way. So there we are. If we want to get serious about becoming disciples who make disciples, I suggest that we make two simple commitments before God. The first one is personal, and it's to use one blessed practice or habit or discipline, however you want to call them, every day until it becomes a natural part of who we are. The second is for us as a group to consider, and it is that in every group session we will talk and pray about bless, and we will share our attempts to bless others and the stories of what God is doing, and give him all the glory for what we see happen.